All right, let's just do a test for sound.
Hello, hello. Yeah, there I can hear myself.
Okay. Would you say something more again? I'm just going to watch the...
Okay, here I am. I can hear myself. I'm doing a radio interview. I'm ready to go.
Yes, all right. We're right here and ready to go. It is nice to be able to hear ourselves now. Okay, so test together. Take a deep breath. And here we are. Good morning. Welcome to the Conversations Radio Show on WDRT. I'm Kayleen Welsh, and I'm really happy to be sitting here today with my guest, Tracy Mangold. Tracy is a person in the community that I've been wanting to know better because I see so much of how she contributes to the world and to our lovely Driftless community. So I wanted to invite her in today so I could learn a little bit more about who she is and really offer the community an update on some of the things that have been going on with her. So, Tracy, thanks a lot for coming in today. I'm grateful for you taking the time to do this.
Thanks, Kayleen. Thanks for having me and thinking of me.
Good. Well, and what I'd love to start with is just an idea. As I said, you're someone I've been wanting to know better. I see some of the different things that you do, everything from, you know, your Waldorf-inspired daycare, the Threshold Care Circle. I know that your background is in music therapy. There's just so many things that you talk about that resonate with me. And so I would like to hear a little bit more about you and where you came from and how you got involved in all of these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, to start off the background, it's not music therapy, it's therapeutic music.
Okay.
Which there's a big difference there. I didn't go to school for music therapy. That's a whole long, you know, at least 4-year program that, you know, looks at objectives and goals for the patient. And I'm a certified music practitioner, so I use the elements of sound to create an environment that will help various patient conditions.
Okay, well, thanks for clarifying that for me. Some of the terms of some of these different systems and programs are confusing.
Yes, so. And it's important because I don't want to offend anyone and say I'm someone I'm not.
Sure, sure. Well, credentialing and all these things are some things that people look at. And so, yeah, no, thanks for that. And so are you from the Viroqua area? Where do you come from?
I was born in Peoria, Illinois. And I moved out west in my early 20s and was out in Sedona and Flagstaff for about 10 years, where I taught in various schools. My degree's in special education, but I taught in Montessori and Waldorf. And prior to that, prior to moving out there, I taught in public school and special education. So it's kind of a conglomeration. You know, what I do is just a little bit of everything of who I am, the inspiration behind it.
Well, and clearly a significant background in working with children.
For sure. And I learned, I went through my first herb school out west as well.
So all of these different pieces that you've been involved in, working with the children, the herbs, the music, has this just kind of, are they separate things or do they kind of merge together, overlapping? Where do they fit?
Well, everything kind of merges together eventually. But I guess I would say they're separate things. You know, music, I've been singing since birth. It's just been a part of who I am, and I've always loved music. And then I guess the other things came later and deciding, you know, what I wanted to do and what I enjoyed.
I know that part of your music background is writing songs. When did you write your first song?
Well, I made up little ditties, you know, as I was singing at 4, 5, or 6. But the first song I remember, I was probably 17.
Yeah, it just feels like such an inspirational kind of thing to have those little ditties come to you.
I enjoy watching that happen with the children when they're just singing to themselves, even with my granddaughter, just sitting and playing and singing and words and songs come out. It's really joyful.
What about the interest in children? Is that just something that you've always had, or?
I don't really know how that came about. I think when I was in college, I just explored different avenues, like with my gen eds. I was looking into social work. I was looking into anthropology, and I was looking into teaching. And I think I just reached this point where really, I needed to make a decision. I knew I wanted to do something that would make this world a better place. And I think I was farthest along in education as far as my credits went. So mm-hmm. I just chose that.
Mm-hmm. And so out in Sedona, Flagstaff area, learning some things, exploring, how'd you end up back in Viroqua? Or in Viroqua, because you had never been here before, right?
Yes. I ended up in Viroqua for the Youth Initiative High School for my son, Caleb.
Okay. Yeah, that does seem to be a draw for many mm-hmm. people into the area.
Yeah, and then shortly after that, I got a job at Pleasant Ridge, and then I started my own school, and here I am.
And can you talk a little bit about the Waldorf, inspired, and you also have the Montessori background and the special education. What was it about those things that drew you? Can you talk a little bit about some of the philosophy then that you bring?
Well, I think what drew me to all of them is it was something that was just a little bit aside from what is mainstream. When I was teaching in the public school as a special education teacher, I would do a lot of resourcing, and I would work with the teachers around children who learn differently, children who behave differently. And what I saw from those teachers who had great hearts and were really trying and did awesome work was a frustration in trying to teach to the test, to the standardized testing, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. being behind in what they're trying to deliver to the children. And I actually would have some of them say things to me like, I don't have time for social education. I don't have time for this. And especially when it's the younger children, I just felt it was so vital. And that there had to be another way. So I went out searching for other ways, and I found Montessori, and I found Waldorf, and just kind of took what I feel like are valuable pieces. I'm not really big on dogma, and I just want to take what works and what's needed in the moment. I don't want to be stuck in the moment when I feel like something else might be needed.
Mm-hmm. It seems like in some ways what you're referring to, or I see it, is a breakdown of so many of our systems. And I sympathize so incredibly with teachers. My background coming out of psychotherapy, also watching teachers and children in school and trying to see all that they're trying to manage. It's an impossible situation. And to break out of some of these systems, I think, is an important piece of where our world is going, needs to go. Having those broader opportunities for learning and experiencing and learning outside of just the test just feels like such an important thing, mm-hmm. And to key in early. And I know one of the projects, one of the things that you've been involved in, or I shouldn't even say I know, because I hear, Little Tree Kinderhouse. And so this has been a licensed daycare that you've been operating here for some time.
I think about 13 years.
Yeah,
now.
That's quite a while. Mm-hmm. And, I guess here again, I heard of you through a relative, that has taken her children to you. And, one of the things that she talks about so lovely is the fact of you guys getting outside and doing different things with the kids and mm-hmm. how just expanding that's been for her children.
Mm-hmm.
And so what a wonderful opportunity, because I also know, talking to her, that daycare services, they're hard to find in the area. It's not easy to find.
Yeah.
Just talk to me a little bit about your school. That kind of came about as you were settling in here and trying to figure out, okay, my son's in school here. We're going to make a life here. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to do. So.
Yes. And so it's what I did. And it brings a lot of joy to my life, in speaking to our time outside and how I see it affecting the children. There's just this that happens of awe and wonder and an outbreath and a relaxation and a connection when we walk into the woods together.
Mm-hmm.
it's so profound and it's so beautiful. You know, and some children will just be smiling ear to ear, looking at all of the trees. But there's just that, okay, we're here.
Yeah,
you know, happens.
It sounds like palatable, you know, visceral, you know, that you can just really see that happen.
I can see it. It's amazing.
Oh, boy. And, you know, one of the things that struck me as I was doing a little bit of research on you or, you know, thinking about asking you to be a guest is I looked at your website. And one of the things that you talked about there is what you're doing really with getting the kids outside, but really aligning with the seasons, you know, being a part of the both the earth, the cosmos, the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something that you just kind of work into your day? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I think it's just something that's part of who we are. And when we can find gratitude and flow with it, things feel really good and things flow. I use that rhythm with the children and it just carries us through. You know, and when I think about rhythm and what it means to me, you know, I think of direction and movement and in-breath and out-breath and moving in from there. You know, you have the four directions and above and below and the earth below us and the sky above us. And then there's, you know, the thought of like as above, so below and fractals and the macrocosm and the microcosm. And it's all happening as we're just, you know, standing here with each other.
The complexity of it all.
Yes, and I can see how, you know, and then bring it right back to just the simple rhythm of a breathing, or the simple rhythm of your heartbeat, and the in-breath and that out-breath, which is the basic of what I do with the children, is having, you know, a calm act, an inactivity, and then an out-activity. And then songs, like weaving songs and the rhythms of songs through it. We have a song for this and a song for that. So it's not like, okay, children, now we're doing this. I sing the song and they come running and they know what's next. And it's solid for them. It brings stability. It brings structure. They're held. They know they're loved, which is also the biggest part of like that macrocosm and microcosm for me, above and below. We have our internal worlds and our external worlds. You know, children are coming into this world so vulnerable. And when they come to me, they're just learning their bodies. They're just learning how to be, how to move. They're just coming into their will and their own sense of personality. And they have all of that internally to work through. And we're here within the rhythms of the day with the earth below us, the sky above us. And I see my work as providing a safe space for them to come into themselves and be themselves and learn themselves. And then you go out to the macrocosm of, oh, and then there's this world around me and these friends around me and these people around me. And you learn how to be in relationship, how to express those needs and how to have compassion and love your friends and your family and how to work through your differences.
Mm.
And all of that just feels so vital to me. Like that's probably the biggest gift I can bring to this world if I can help children maneuver all of that and come into themselves.
There's so much beautiful things in what you just said there. I mean, one, I'm really like taken with the idea of really being held in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and really that's what, you know, as we come into this life here, you know, that's, you know, we have to anchor into our body, into the, you know, the system here, the energy around us. I mean, but the idea of being held by that is really lovely to me.
Well, and that's where I think of the fractal idea a lot, because it's within us, it's in our body, it's out within nature, it's out in the cosmos, it's in music. You know, I can hold my finger up, my index finger, and bend it, and you've got, you know, these three edges here that make up that Fibonacci sequence, which is that golden mean ratio that's in everything, that's a part of it. You look at our human genome and the ability or the actuality that it is a fractal and that it can have that fractal energy. There are, 3 billion base pair of DNA in our human genome, and that's because it can fractal and it can move in and about and not be tangled up. It's an order. It moves Yeah.
What maybe appears complex and chaotic really is ordered and simplified, basic. And well, it comes down to some basic
equation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes the invisible visible. Mm-hmm. And like within that, within my own like daily practices and my own rhythms, as I'm on this basically this rock that's spinning through space, I am a part of the cosmos and it's turning and it's creating these rhythms. And as I have my own practices, the fractals come in and where like I can feel that connection to the cosmos and I can feel big and expansive and it's really powerful. And then I can also feel really small and like contracted and able to pay attention to all the details and be in the details and be invisible. And I can do them both at the same time. Like mm-hmm. it's a mystery. I don't even know if what I'm saying is making sense, but somewhere inside of my heart, I feel it.
And what it reflects for me is that awareness of the connection.
Yes.
It was another beautiful piece of what you were talking about a moment ago for the children, because it seems to me like just, I don't know, connecting with life in this way. And it does feel very alien in many ways to the world that we live in. You know, I'd like to think that we still, I haven't spent a lot of time around young children lately other than, you know, here and there. So I hope that we are really giving them the opportunity to be children. It feels like in many ways we encourage them to grow right past children's stage and somehow be little adults or know things a little differently.
So they could be ready for this world.
Yeah, right. And yet they've never really been acclimated to the world. I'm kind of on the other end working with adults. You know, my background, or I work in psychotherapy, and you know, I'm dealing with adults all over the place that are dealing with anxiety and depression. And I want to say part of that is because they've never learned to breathe.
Mm.
You know, life has been stressful and chaotic almost from day one, and this is the pace that we, like, put ourselves in. I was visiting my sister at her beautiful lake home in Georgia recently, and it was just such a lovely evening, and the weather was beautiful, and the sky, and the sunset, and just sitting there by the lake and listening to the water and the birds, and I just recognized that my sister was very caught up in pulling weeds. And somehow it just felt out of rhythm. It felt like, you know, how do we, and you know, granted, I know we have to take care of our environment and the things around us too, but I felt like she was missing the moment.
Mm. But sometimes pulling weeds can be so rhythmical and beautiful and satisfying.
That's true too. That is very true. I know COVID year I spent some time weeding in the garden, and it was pulling, like I was pulling things right out at the root.
But I hear what you're saying, and there's definitely this element of presence, which is something that is demanded, you know, working with young children. My presence and my awareness and being in this moment is demanded and cherished. You know, the life is more beautiful when I'm just aware of it all and feeling it all. And I feel that as well when I play for patients at the bedside, just that, you know, this note is the most important note, and me being here and looking into their eye and looking into their eyes and just witnessing them and being with each other, the power of presence permeates.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more, but I'm guessing probably we're about time for a station break.
Oh, so, that happened fast.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I haven't even really been watching the clock, to be perfectly honest, so I'll have to do a little bit more of that. But bottom line is, I am Kayleen Welsh, and this is Conversations, the radio show that really brings us back to dialogue, where we can talk to our neighbors and friends and learn more about them. And I'm very grateful today that Tracy Mangold has come in to talk to me a little bit more about herself, her contributions to the community, and her philosophy on some things. So thanks again, Tracy, for being here.
Thank you.
And all right, so let's go back. I mean, you know, presence, it does seem to be one of the biggest things that's most important. I think as I look at the work that I do and the people that I encounter in much of my life, I think that's one of the things that people have a lot of difficulty with. So how do we help them? I mean, like, as you, like, align the day with the children, I love the way you start with song, or, you know, it sounds like you incorporate a lot of song, both with your children, but I also know the value of song, you know, and working bedside with people. Just the idea of starting the day with something uplifting like that feels like it's just a real positive thing to do.
Yeah, and I certainly have my own practices that, you know, bring me into alignment and help me to keep present. But as far as helping other people, I don't know how I would do that with any kind of tool other than just being who I am in the moment and being present. You know, I can think of situations where you see somebody who is just fully there, and it pulls you in too. You know, it brings your own expansion. I think a lot of my work is just really being embodied, which has been a lifelong journey for me, that I am a person in this world, you know, because it's been hard to comprehend at times. And it's been like, well, really, I'm meant to be here? Like, I don't understand this world. And there are things that should be simple that just aren't. And I don't understand war and the way we treat each other and the way we treat ourselves and the way we're treating the earth. And it just, you know, doesn't make sense at times. And maybe part of me wanted to believe, well, you really don't belong here. You're just passing through. And it's been a lifelong journey for me to, like, maybe within the past few years of, like, I belong here because I'm here. And I have a will, and it's my responsibility to be here and be present. And when I stand in that, I think that's the biggest thing that can affect others.
It seems really important for all of us that we are able to, like, show up as us as best we're able and to bring whatever it is that we are to bring.
Well, especially when we've heard a lot of messages otherwise, you know, from the time we were little of who we can be and can't be. We have a lot to overcome sometimes.
I know that, you know, part of this for me is in embodying myself has been in some ways a draw to isolation in the mountaintop. You know, it feels like it's easier for me to, like, stay connected and to hold a space for me that's better in some ways when I'm on the mountaintop. And yet I also recognize that this is not the time to be at the mountaintop. Mm. It feels like it's very much to bring some of these practices to our daily life. So I love the idea of singing in the morning and some song to lighten the day. And I've been an active member of the local song circle. And one of the things that I love about that is the songs that emerge. And so I definitely have a sense, and I think that's one of the things that drew me to you too also, was the idea of sound being medicine. And it is such a bigger part of this bigger, mysterious universe that does all fit together, that does have an order. And so it's all just really fascinating. And to think that, I don't know, how do I want to say, overtly, just practically, I mean, what a lovely way to keep our children attended. To get outside and to, you know, align with the resonance of the earth, you know, to get their feet on the ground. So many pieces around that. Just it feels to me like there's much that is through my little knowledge of Waldorf, or my children did Montessori for a little while. But even the idea of sound, of getting outside, of moving your body, of just being aware of senses, like using your senses. Art and creativity, imagination, you know, some of these pieces that feel like they get lost.
Well, something you said, you know, struck me and reminded me a little bit of using song as medicine in the circles that you're attending. I used to run a first aid tent at Village Fire, which is just a group of people coming together and singing. And, you know, it's not like your normal music festival. And there's these festivals all over where it's just ordinary, average people coming up with their song. There's something about their song and your song and sharing it and teaching it to others. And it holds your joy and your pain and your grief. And you come and you teach it to other people, and you sing it together. And there's a witnessing within there, which leads into grief. How we witness one another and how we heal. When I was doing my studies to be a certified music practitioner, one of the books that was required reading would talk about this village that before each child is born, the mother receives a song and learns that song. And then when the child is born, she sings the song, and the song is sung to the child, and it's kind of like to remind them that they are loved and who they are. And then through times within that child's life, like if they come out of balance or have hard times, the whole village will come together and sing that song to them.
God, that's so beautiful, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes me think so much about the idea that just really every kid needs to know they're special.
Mm-hmm. And being held. And that's part of the grief we carry within this culture, is that we don't necessarily, depending on, you know, where we're born and what's around us, we don't necessarily have that feeling of community, that we're held and that we come in here with a special gift and just being special by being who we are. Mm-hmm. And that we're held and will be carried.
So I love the idea, too, of your day's structure. And I'm kind of looking to think about how do I apply this to my own life. Mm-hmm. But the replicating the idea of the breath.
Mm-hmm.
The inactivity and the out activity and everything is that intake, inhale, exhale, ingest, mm-hmm. outgest, yeah. release.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be complicated. You know, we have our basic needs, and we can look at that and when that may or may not need to happen, and then how we can structure an in-breath and an out-breath. You know, thinking of like parents who have their children over the summer. And the biggest thing is to not beat yourself up, because life is life and we do what we can. But if you can just look to having, you know, that nice outside time, you know, where you're active and physical, and then come in and have some quiet time, look at books or do a project. And then, you know, I look at like my circle time is an out breath. We're moving and we're singing together. And then after that, we come in and we have story and we're inward. And so it's that microcosm and the macrocosm mm-hmm. repeating itself as well.
It seems mm-hmm. interesting to try to think about that, and probably something that's on people's minds as school is getting ready to be released here in the next little while. But, you know, how do you set up a structure for the day? And, you know, now we have a lot of kids that will have a lot more free time, just the way our education system is structured. Mm-hmm. And parents that are off working. And mm-hmm. so, of course, you know, one of the scourges of our time, scourge benefits, is the technology and the electronics. And any tips for parents? How do we, like, you know, engage our kids in this?
Well, I think that comes back to presence. You know, be sure to have set times where you're just present together as a family. And don't beat yourself up. You know, technology is a part of this world, and it can become a huge battle. And yes, we need to be present with it, and we need to have our parameters and know what they are and be able to create boundaries. But I think, as opposed to seeing it as this thing that we have to struggle with, just focus more on the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, focus more on what can we do together and how can we be present together? How can we make our time valuable in relationship with each other?
No, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, law of physics, what we focus on expands.
Yes.
So, you know, we might as well focus on the things that we want to see more of.
Mm.
And I think it is also really just important that there is this family presence or togetherness. I mean, one of the things that I think was a gift of the COVID pandemic experience, as I watched neighbors and families around me or just spoke with different family members or friends, but, you know, it did seem like it brought families together. They were doing things, you know, my neighbors were out for a walk every evening. The whole family would be out.
That you would see everybody
yes.
out walking.
Yeah, yeah, it was lovely. I mean, yeah. that was almost like, you know, gifts of COVID, that how quickly we lose sight of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and also, you know, COVID did bring a lot more technology. And that's, you know, that's when it definitely noticeably got harder for me with my own son, when, you know, he was required mm-hmm. to be on technology so much, and there wasn't the interaction with friends that mm-hmm. it did bring that as well.
Sure. Yeah, there was definitely some complications there too. And so let's go back a little bit now, because right now you're in this place of kind of reorienting yourself here, I think, or rebuilding. I understand that your home, which is where you held your school, burned down in, I guess it was early January, January 2nd, right after the first of the year. And I know that you're in a rebuilding phase. And so right now the school is, closed for the summer, and you're reorienting and getting back on track. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. It's been really hard. It's been really stressful.
I can't imagine having a fire like that. And especially it's a fire that, your home is one thing. And I'm sure there's all kinds of things around that. And then your business too, your livelihood. It's not like you can go get up and go to work, the next week or something and still have your income.
Yeah, fortunately, this community is fabulous. And I really appreciate this opportunity to express my gratitude to the whole community who just held me and supported me, from, fundraisers to my GoFundMe to, maybe Lately's and Driftless Cafe had a fundraiser. And I work through hospice at Gunderson Lutheran and La Crosse, and they pooled money for me. It's just endless. I couldn't even sit here and think of everybody to thank. So I put that out there for the people who held me and are still holding me. Instantly I had about 7 friends come together and we are going to support you. We're your support team. And they've just been out of this world. And then my contractors who came in, I call them my magical superheroes. For a time I didn't know if the house could be rebuilt. The insurance company was saying to plow it down. And there was one day in January, which, January was absolute hell for me. I spent the days in my frozen house from the time the sun came up to beyond when the sun came down, sorting through everything that I owned, throwing, over half of it away and shoveling frozen insulation off of my floor and, throwing drywall in the dumpster. And I'm in my house shoveling insulation and sorting through stuff. And these contractors walk in and they're looking at the structure of my house, and they're like, "Oh, why are there so many walls here? And who did this floor plan? We could do this and we could do that." And I just have tears running down my face. Like, you like my house? Mm-hmm. Like, it changed everything mm-hmm. for me. And mm-hmm. and they're fabulous people. And yeah, I just can't express my gratitude for this community enough. Thank you, thank you.
Well, and one of the things I'm really liking about your story, you're appreciating too, is it just feels like all the holding that you've done for people and children and things and just general mindset is returned. How are we held by the universe? We are held by the universe. And the more that we're able to be with each other, it does feel like there is a flow that happens with that comes back around. And
finding that relationship. Mm-hmm. Our relationships are so valuable.
Authentic. It's authentic and genuine and real and vulnerable. Boy, what a difficult spot to be in. And I wondered, even as I think about some of that community response, what's it like to receive like that?
It's hard for me.
I think it would be for most people. People are much easier giving than receiving.
I'm not good at asking for help. I'm really bad at it. And I couldn't not ask for help. Mm-hmm. And it was really beautiful to receive. And I hope I did it gracefully.
I can't imagine that happening any other way. So, and your appreciation expressed here today is really lovely also. Mm-hmm. And so now the house is coming back together. You found some people that are putting it back together in a way that feels good and it's exciting for you. And so the school will be opening up again at some point?
Yes, I will spend the summer sorting through everything in my storage space, seeing what was salvageable and what wasn't, and cleaning things and moving in, and then seeing what I need to do and what I need to gather to put the school back together. And I have to go through a whole new relicensing process But right now it's focusing on, I feel like I live at Menards and Home Depot, and the contractors give me all these things to figure out. And sometimes I'm like, I don't even understand what you just said. Like, and I have to go make a decision. Decisions are hard for me. And so that's been, you know, a really good lesson that I've been forced into doing.
Well, and I guess I can't help but wonder, I mean, as you're juggling all this, redoing the house and kind of getting things back on track and sorting your stuff and still doing the bedside music work, how, even in the midst of all that, how can we engage? How do you maintain your connection with this greater universe? How do you maintain your awareness of being held?
I just struggled. I mean, I think the community did that for me because I was not in a position to care for myself. You know, I mean, I had days where I heard myself telling myself, I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you need right now. You have to put one foot in front of the other. You just have to put one foot in front of the other. And so I can say it, I fell out of rhythm. I was not practicing good self-care. And I'm quite sure that the community's support, I mean, they fed me. Yeah. For the first, you know, couple weeks, month. I don't even remember. I don't remember it all.
Well, maybe that's just even a lovely thought to take away again, that we are held even when we can't hold ourselves. Mm.
That's my prayer and my wish for everyone.
Mm-hmm. As I think about how do I stay connected, and I, you know, I'd like to think about what little things people can do. I mean, it sounds like getting outside is certainly something people can do to stay connected to this greater universe.
Mm.
Opening up in relationship. I mean, you know, having some friends and like being vulnerable in relationship is another piece. I just feel like there's tools all around us, everything. I mean, certainly our breath again. You know, we can go back just to like, oh my gosh, are we breathing fully?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, because I know, like, when I get going through my day, I'll sometimes find that I'm, like, holding my breath or, hardly breathing. One of the things that's become really, I guess, expanding for me as I think about connecting with this greater life universe is, I guess I've just gotten into a lot of astrology over the recent years, but it's gotten me in connecting with the night sky.
Mm-hmm.
And so like just even like to walk outside and like see that beautiful Venus that's been shining the last number of nights or, you know, the full moon out there, just taking some breaths and like feeling the air, it just feels like those are ways to connect. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, I think what we're talking about is maybe essentially this is the definition of grounding, isn't it? I mean, coming back to being present.
Mm.
And any time that we can bring ourselves back to present, we're held in this lovely universal space.
Mm. And I think then there's more opportunity for us to move in a different direction or figure out what we need, handle the stress and the rough times when we can find that presence. And so then we're not so chained to the past and what happened in the past, and we're not so worried about the future when we can be in the present. And that's hard. I mean, we can sit here and try to wax poetic on it like it's the most important thing, but it is a, you know, a daily thing that we may not even find every day. You know, I'll wake up in the morning, well, especially like right after the fire happened, and it just there's this reckoning, you know, kind of like, oh wow, that happened. And there's, you know, a PTSD that comes with it, there's the grief that comes with it, you know, the same as like when a loved one dies, you know, you wake up every morning and it just hits you like, oh, I am in a world without this person, without this person's presence in a physical way now. And then you were talking about, you know, the hecticness of life and how busy we are. It's, I mean, there are a lot of reasons to be stressed out. So it's not easy, but I would say start with your breath. Just start with your breath. Be in your body.
all important things. And I'm just, you know, considering, pondering on too. You're right. I mean, it's so hard, how hard it is sometimes to hold this place and to really give ourselves, you know, the grace around that.
Yes, that is important. Like the forgiveness and the allowance and like compassion for ourselves.
I spend a good chunk of the winter in Isla Mujeres, Mexico. And it's the Isle of Women, and one of, you know, the goddess that's associated with that island, or this sense, the Mayan, she's a Mayan goddess. As I was reading about her a little bit, it talks so much about how she lived both in the cenotes and in the sky. And so to me, in many ways, that said that she lived in the heavens, the divine realm, the greater world, and she lived on earth. Mm-hmm. She lived in the mud. Mm-hmm. You know, she lived in the muddy holes. And, you know, I think that is our challenge, is how do we hold the space for both?
But I think we're already doing it, whether, you know, we're human and we have a human mind and we can't fully grasp the mystery. But like I said earlier, we are standing on a rock that's spinning through space. Mm-hmm. We are on the earth and we're in outer space.
Uh-huh. And even as we have our human experience here, I guess I just also want people to keep remember that there is a bigger picture.
Yeah.
And to really embrace or engage or to consider, how do I hold space with that bigger picture? Mm.
And I think that's different for everyone, you know, whether people have, you know, their various religions that can get them through, or their daily practices, or just following, like, you know, the rhythms of the earth, the moon cycle, the day to the night, and watching the seasons. I mean, that is like the first religion right there. It's that sense of awe.
Yeah.
Awe and wonder.
Well, let's come back to that in a minute, too. It's time for another station break. And this is Kayleen Welsh, and this is the radio show Conversations on WDRT-FM out of Viroqua, Wisconsin. And we're talking today with Tracy Mangold. I don't want to come up with some words for you, Tracy. A child educator, I don't want to say music therapist. I want to, how do
therapeutic
I want
to say, musician.
Therapeutic musician. I want to say herbalist. I want to say woman of the earth, you know, woman of the greater picture, maybe even more than earth. But so thanks. Thanks for showing up for today and having this conversation with me.
Thanks for having me.
And just before we went into station break, we were just touching on a little bit on the idea of spirituality and religion. And I guess what I want to add about that or explore a little bit is, to me, as you're talking about, you know, aligning with the rhythm of the seasons and connecting with our breath and being embodied and, you know, using sound to support us in our world and just all these pieces that we can utilize and to keep ourselves in a rhythm, in alignment, noticing the fractals and all the different layers as best we're able. But what I guess what I think about that is, in many ways, I've thought about this a lot, because I think religion was really designed in many ways to try to conceptualize and codify or something, some of these ideas that people didn't really know what to do with or were trying to, like, make some sense out of. And in some ways, I mean, certainly we could talk a lot about religion and where it's been helpful or unhelpful or whatever, but to me, the bigger picture is that there is a bigger picture. And when you talk about aligning with the seasons, that's part of the bigger picture. You know, this greater earth cosmic sense of being, you know, what is spirituality? To me, it's like, what is this life all about? It's kind of some of these bigger ideas of the intangibles and how do we connect? And in some ways, it brings us back even to, like, ideas about these intangible things, like compassion and acceptance and tolerance. And, I mean, even just some of the things that you had to go through in this transition of the fire, you know. I mean, going into loss, I mean, opens us up to compassion. There's just so many pieces around this being a bigger story, and that life, that this you're living, spiritual.
Mm. Well, and I think, too, religion is what helps people, you know, people who are practicing their religion. I would hope that it's to bring them to that bigger picture of love and compassion. And, you know, if it doesn't make things better for you, then, I don't know, try a different religion.
Yeah, right.
I mean, looking to that, and I mean, I see in these things we're speaking of today and the things that I feel, I have practiced a lot of different religions, and I can feel this stream running through all of them. And I've also seen that that can upset people in religions, that, you know, no, ours is different and ours is the right one and that's the right one. You know, I've had a deep connection with Jesus and the Christ consciousness, but I can't, my words don't always fit the words that, you know, maybe certain sects of Christianity want you to say. And so then I've become more of like an outcast within that. But it goes beyond that, you know. I mean, the message of Christ goes beyond the way the people are implementing it. And I think, you know, the outreach for religion ultimately was to reach that awe and that wonder, that's the impulse behind it.
Thanks for bringing those words back again, because I think that's an important piece for me. As I work to embody my best self or show up as on the planet as I'm supposed to do, but for me, one of the best ways that I can, I want to say, keep in my best self is to hold a mindset of awe. Mm. You know, just to really be able to, like, look at the world and, like, for example, right now, all the abundance of flowers. Mm. Oh, my God, there's so many of them, and they all are unique and so beautiful. And, you know, how do we engage with that sense of awe? Mm. To me, that's one of the greatest ways, again, to stay connected with the rhythm.
Well, and then at the same time, you know, you have this awe and this beauty and this wonder and this joy, but then we also have this very real, you know, happenings within the world, and it's important to stay awake and aware to that, and that means feeling it and witnessing it, and there's pain and there's grief, and but yet being awake and aware to that is then what also helps us to recognize the awe and the wonder and the joy and how profound that is as well. It's all such a mystery.
Yeah.
I don't feel I really have anything to say except, hi, I'm here in the mystery with you. Hi,
yeah.
Kaylee.
Hi there. Yes, here we're in it
we
together.
We get to be here. Uh-huh. Like how amazing is that?
Yeah, and we really get to be here together, which is really another piece of it. I think so much of my life, I think, has been, you know, you do it on your own. And so opening up even to community and opening up to relationship is hugely important. And oh, it just feels like life gets heavy. And this is takes me back again to the idea of living both in the sky and in the cenotes. I stand with my feet on the ground, you know, and I'm here in the day-to-day happenings of this experience of, I don't know, fires and illness and pressures and financial obligations and all the things that push us forward. At the same time, I want to remember that there's way more than that.
Mm. Well, and for me, the being connected to the heavens and the earth and fully present within myself and being in that awe and wonder then connects me to my responsibility as a human being to work my will in the world and stand up for injustices and be truly and fully who I am and be awake and aware and see the things that I would like to be different and help make them the way that feels right for me.
And do our part then where we can, where we get the opportunity to do that. I guess I'd also like to hear just a little bit more about, I guess, what a profound experience it must be in some ways to share music at a bedside.
It's so beautiful. You know, and music is one of those things, you know, like we've been talking about where, you know, I'll be playing or writing songs and playing my guitar, and as I'm doing it, I'm like, this is the most important thing. Like, this is so beautiful and healing. And, you know, to share that with someone in a vulnerable situation, I mean, it was really hard for me at first, you know, even though I'm invited into someone's home or, you know, to their bedside, it was really hard for me to walk through that door and do it, just knowing that I'm in a vulnerable space and the type of attention and awareness that it takes, you know, because I don't want to cause any harm. You know, it takes, you know, paying attention to their breathing and their mood and their anxiety and their pain and choosing, you know, the right sound, the right note, the right mode, and then watching and seeing how that affects them and whether I need to change it up or be quieter or be a little louder or be slower or faster. It's really profound. And just to see how, you know, there have been a lot of studies showing that people who have music when they're recovering from surgery need less pain medication. There have been a lot of studies on the power of music and how it can help with different patient conditions. And
what do you think that does? What is that? Is that just a vibrational thing that it like kind of offers a frequency or something of?
I think it's that, and I think as well, you know, I'm working with rhythm and I'm working with beat. I can play for someone who's maybe coming out of a stressful situation with surgery or in the ICU, and they're trying to maintain a steady heartbeat. And if I just play to that heartbeat, you know, it pulls them in. It does. You know, there are studies showing that it affects the heart. So it's all of that. And I think it's the human presence, mm-hmm. having someone there witnessing and caring and smiling at you, mm-hmm. and being with you.
Mm-hmm. I know you're also very involved with the Threshold Care Circle, which has been a local group. It's been around for a number of years, right? Mm-hmm. Kim, well, I'll let you describe it. What is Threshold Care Circle? And
We are a group that we consult with people and we teach them about home funeral and green burial, how to do that, how to care for your loved one's body and do it all at home, how to do the paperwork because it is legal within our state. Every state is a little bit different. So we consult with that. And then now there's the spinoff with the Green Burial Group where they're working on creating green burial in Viroqua.
It just seems like to me that work again fits this bigger picture. Mm. Of aligning with the rhythm. I mean, death is such an important part of life, and it's yet something that we tend to, ignore or not talk about or mm-hmm. avoid as best we can. And
well, I think in ignoring that, we ignore the big picture. I think it connects in a little bit with, our consumerism. Well, you can't take it with you when you go, what? I don't think about death.
Uh-huh,
you
uh-huh.
know, I mean, for me, it ties a little bit into that. And I feel like, you know, and it wasn't that long ago that we were doing, you know, caring for our loved ones. It's just been within, the last 150 years that embalming and all of this came around. And that can have a tendency to remove us from mm-hmm. death. And when death is right there with us, I think it changes the way that we live, and in a way that each moment is profound. It brings that presence that we're talking about, and it makes you think of, well, I'm here for a short time, and it makes you think of the generations to come. For me, it does. What are we leaving? You know, like this earth isn't ours, and how are we treating it and each other while we're here, and what will things look like? How can we make things better for the generations to come? Mm-hmm. It is a lot of why I wanted to become involved with Threshold Care Circle.
Oh, there's so much that you said there, too, that's just so important. And to me, that, again, all lines up with how do we live in accordance, in cooperation with all of this.
Mm.
You know, with all of this. And I think about when my dad died, this was a number of years ago, but he so badly wanted to just to be put in the ground.
mm-hmm.
And of course, none of the, you know, local cemeteries where he was at or anything, he couldn't do that, of course. You know, he needed the container, he needed the vault, I mean, the whole thing. And in some ways, his idea of or desire to just be put in the earth was, to me, lines up with this whole idea of in rhythm with the universe mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a part of it all. We're just a link in this system. And in some ways, it just was sad for me that was not able, what he was able to do at that time.
What he wanted.
Yeah. So, you know, but our reconnection with death, I think, is an important piece. And to me, that it's acknowledging all life. I mean, death acknowledges, life. And as you were talking, I thought of a college professor that used to say, basically, until you've looked at death, you have not learned how to live.
Hmm.
And I think that's true. I mean, it does bring us back to a present place. And how do we show up today? And I guess, you know, maybe that's one of the things that I'm appreciating also about you is the fact you kind of have this like quiet backdrop. Or, I mean, he's in his, I'm like, Tracy, I see her here and there, and I, you know a little of her, but
I'm an introvert.
Yeah, well, and yet you're out
among
there doing
things.
You're out there doing so many important things. And so, but I think that's part of it too, you know, is how do we find our resilience? You know, how do we like hold a place of bringing what's ours to bring as we embody who we are to be? You know, how do we bring what is ours? That just seems really crucially important. And I guess that, again, brings us back to present.
Mm. A lifelong lesson.
Uh-huh.
Being so human.
Keep breathing and show up as best you can. And
we're doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, uh-huh. Loving as best we can. You know, appreciating, I don't know, each other and the world around us. And standing in awe of the mystery, because it's a mystery, and there's a lot of complexity to this crazy life that we live in.
Yeah, I don't know anything. I just try to be present and do the very best I can.
Very good. Awesome. Well, I guess I think technically we're probably about out of time for our conversation, but let's take a few minutes. Is there anything else that you'd like to share or something we didn't touch on? Or
not that I can think of in the moment.
I guess I have one final question, and maybe this is just kind of it takes us back to your herbal background, which we didn't really talk about a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But even as people are getting ready for summer to get out, school to be out, I mean, are there things, you know, do you have suggestions on what should we have in our medicine cabinet? What do we need to do to be prepared for summer?
Oh, dear, that's a whole other
is
show,
Kaylee. Okay, all right. I was thinking, sunburns, mosquito bites, but okay, we can do another show.
Yarrow, you could have yarrow.
Okay.
You could have plantain.
Okay.
And that's a lot right there. You could have calendula.
Okay. Well, and it just feels like that is, you know, maybe that is another show down the road somewhere, but that's another place where we really engage with the world on a bigger basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we've been given so much rich abundance that we can use for our own experience and benefit well-being while we're here. And to me, that's a big part, again, of reconnecting with all of this.
Oh, and it's all about relationship. You know, when I went off to herb school and was learning about all these different plants, I started to dream about them. And it reached a point where, like, I felt like I had 200 new friends with all these personalities. And, I mean, it's definitely a relationship.
Uh-huh.
And I think about, too, how long plants have been here, you know, long before I came here, and that they've just kind of been witnessing and present and changing through the weather and everything that's happening. They've just been here holding ground.
Mm-hmm. Holding ground.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I guess on that, I'll say thank you again for showing up today and sharing all of your thoughts and self with the program, with me and the program and people listening. And really wish you the best as things come back together for you. And just appreciating your resilience and your continued efforts, I don't even like the word effort. You're just showing up. You know, you're continuing to hold your space and to do what you are here to offer. And so thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Kaylee.